Welcome to Daily Devotion with Ken Gurley. Devotions designed to inspire you on your daily walk with God. Each day we walk through the vital principles of the abundant life. Our Lord can do above and beyond all we ask or think. Here's your host, Ken Gurley.
Stop and think a moment. Who is the person who taught you, changed your life, showed you a better way? What teacher, mentor influenced you? What message preached, lesson taught, example shown, changed your life? Can you name that person? Everything rises and falls on teaching. If a convert becomes a disciple, it's because of teaching. If a believer develops their gifts and becomes effective in the ministry, it's because of teaching. If a church is anchored on the rock, Jesus said it's because they built their lives on his teachings, the cornerstone, the sure foundation. If a believer, conversely, drifts from the gospel, if a church is shipwrecked, if a minister of the gospel ceases to preach, it's a failure of teaching. Somehow that Christ-given ministry is not in operation for the church to be the church, for a believer to be used of God, for a saint of God to flourish and grow. The teaching ministry must be in operation. Welcome to Daily Devotion. Today, I want to talk to you about the importance of teaching in ushering in an awakening and making us more effective in the kingdom. It was a few years before Christ was born, Julius Caesar led his Roman army across the English Channel. As the Romans fought their enemy, the ancient British warriors did something very strange. They fought fiercely for a few minutes, then they would retreat, only to return again to the battlefield in a few minutes and fight again. And that process was repeated over and over again. And after witnessing this a few times, the Roman army understood what was happening. For the Romans fought with swords of tempered metal, while the British fought with swords of bronze, a softer metal. A few minutes of fighting and the bronze swords bent. The British were forced to retreat to straighten out their swords before they could fight again. Each retreat forfeited precious ground. Retreat upon retreat eventually brought defeat. Why did the ancient British use bronze rather than steel? Bronze was convenient. It was available. Steel was difficult. Bronze was easy to work with. Steel took time. Smiths could make bronze weapons, but few could make steel. Bronze was good enough until the enemy showed up with a new weapon. And like the ancient British facing the Romans, we face a new era. This age has facts at its fingertips, distant colleges and libraries within reach, a 24/7 society, a visual world, a virtual world, artificial intelligence, a world where morals tumble and families crumble, a world stressed beyond imagination. And God's people need to be steeled to face this new world. God's people need a new generation of smiths of sort. We would call it the fivefold ministry. The apostle looks forward, the prophet points upward, the evangelist points outward, the pastor points inward, and the teacher points downwards to the foundation, to the roots, to the iron sharpening iron. In 1 Samuel 18, we read that there were no smiths found throughout the land of Israel because the Philistines had said, we're going to get rid of the smiths lest they make swords or spears. So all the Israelites had to go to the Philistines to sharpen every man his plowshare. But it came to pass in the day of battle, there was never a sword or a spear found in the people of Israel except for Saul and Jonathan. What happened to the smiths? I believe in daily devotion as we turn our attention to see a nation arising and a great awakening. We need the smiths back. Oh, I'm not talking about the most common name in America, the surname being Smith. As with other names such as Carpenter, Turner, Baker, people named Smith were once associated with an occupation, goldsmiths, silversmiths, coppersmiths, blacksmiths. In the Bible, smiths were gifts from God, Isaiah 54. The Lord said, I created the smith that blows coals in the fire, brings forth an instrument for his work. God created the smith. He created the person who could breathe life into coals. He created the person who could forge and make an instrument for work. Rabbinic Jews believed a smith was more than a metal worker. They taught that he was emblematic of another profession, the one who takes the raw material of human lives and helps them to become what God would have them to be. Ancient Jews believed the smith to be a teacher of the young. A smith is a good metaphor for a teacher. Like a smith, a teacher lights fires in the hearts of students. Like a smith, a teacher shapes a person's character. A teacher creates something worthwhile. So the passage in Samuel has dual possibilities. There was no smith in Israel, a nation without smiths, is like a church without teachers. Why did Israel have no smiths? The Philistines took the smiths away. The enemy had many smiths. After all, the Philistines had 30,000 iron chariots. Years before, God had promised Israel victory over the chariots of iron. But it wouldn't be until David was king that he conquered the iron-rich red hills of Edom and imported smiths to work the iron. Under Saul's uninspired leadership, Israel had no smiths to work the iron. Her people were paralyzed in the past. No one led them forward. Israel was stuck. I read recently of a border crossing between Uganda and Kenya. Between the borders is a sliver of land home to hundreds of people, citizens of neither country. They're stuck in between, stuck in what's called the borderlands. Borderlands. That's where God's people were in our text, stuck between the past and the present, trapped between the Bronze Age and the Iron Age. They knew too much to go back. But they lacked the leadership and skills to go forward. They needed smiths. They needed teachers. They needed waymakers. Isn't that a picture for many today? We feel inadequate to face the challenges of modern world. We are comfortable with our past, but ill-equipped to face the present, much less the future. The spirit is strong, but the flesh is weak. We need someone to refashion and temper us for today's world. We need to restore the smiths, the teachers amongst us. To restore the missing smiths, we must realize teachers are vital in these changing times. They're a vital gift from God. God gives to some, Romans 12, the gift of teaching. Teachers are needed to equip the church and the next generation. For us to keep our doctrine, it's going to take more than the printed page. For the mighty God in Christ's message to remain, it's going to take more than programs. For the church to remain separate, it will take more than orators and counselors in the pulpit. We need the full-orbed ministry of the church, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We need all hands on deck and all ministries able and willing. It will take teachers who prepare lessons and build people, who know their times and know their place in time, believe they have a ministry and determine to fulfill it, impart knowledge and incite a love for the truth, know their material and love people. It will take small group leaders to not merely inform, but to inspire, to not merely mutter, but to model, to show people the change that can take place in their lives. To create disciples, we need disciple makers. And like the Philistines of old, the world is one remedy for teaching. Just get rid of the smiths in Israel. But teachers are so vital in this day and age. Teachers sow dreams. Teachers inspire visions. To restore the missing smiths, we must also realize changing times requires new skills. The smiths led people from age to age, from Stone Age to Bronze Age to Iron Age. The smiths were change agents. Forging iron was harder than making bronze, required greater steel, greater ingenuity, greater patience. Each age requires new skills. The fires of passion are always going to be needed. The hammer of determination, the anvil of truth, the forge of understanding, but there also must be new skills added. Howard Hendricks, who wrote Teaching to Change Lives, said, "If you stop growing today, you stop teaching tomorrow." Inside of each teacher is a greater teacher ready to emerge. Grow that teacher inside of you. And finally, to restore the missing Smiths, we must answer the question, what happened to them? What happened to the Smiths? What happened to the art of teaching? 1 Samuel makes this observation, the Philistines drove them out. The Philistines forced them into hiding because they knew victory was only one Smith away. Revival may be only one teacher away, one small group leader who loves the church, who decides, I can make a difference. I can touch lives. I can lead people to victory. New skills call for the restoration of teaching. Missing Smiths forced Israel to go to the Philistines to have their farm utensils sharpened. How cruel, how doubly cruel, because the Philistines had robbed Israel of her Smiths, and now they had to go to the Philistines to get their farm instruments. And finally, because the Philistines frequently stole the crops ready to be harvested, Israel was forced to do the work to feed the Philistines. When there is an absence of teaching, people are going to turn to others for help. Others who substitute performance for power, charisma for doctrine, hype for holiness, entertainment for enlightenment, crowns for crosses. The road to the Philistines must be closed. We need our own Smiths. We need teachers with insight, wisdom, and foresight. We need teachers who can wield the sword of the Spirit, iron sharpening iron. We not only need to restore the Smiths, we need each Smith to be restored. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. He wants to disarm you, strip you of your power. He wants to distract you and draw you from your purpose. He wants to disable you and impair your productivity. He wants to destroy you and neutralize your potential. When the enemy has his way, the Smiths are missing. Teachers might go through the motions, but the fire is absent. Someone might have misunderstood you. Someone may have misjudged you. Someone mistook what you said. But we learn quickly, it's not the load I carry, it's how I carry it. We need a teacher to teach us that. We need someone to forge us, temper us, prepare us, iron sharpening iron. We need the bellows of the Holy Spirit to blow hot across our souls. We must be transformed to lead in the transformation of others. For an enemy has come to our shores with new weaponry. We must be prepared for battle, not flesh and blood. Jesus modeled this for us. He poured himself into the lives of a handful of people. And for the remainder of their lives, what he told them and what he did clicked in their minds and spirits, and they brought to their remembrance what he taught them. They patterned their lives after him. We emphasize going and reaching the lost, but somehow we need to learn the importance of discipling those who have been found. Disciplers are the Smiths of the New Testament church. They take the raw material and they transform people into disciples. In the book of Acts, 28 times do we read about disciples. That's one for each chapter of the book of Acts, because the apostolic church was a disciple-making church. Before believers were called Christians, they were called disciples. And it takes the art of teaching to transform them. Do you remember when Ananias reached Paul? He stayed with him, taught him, took the raw material, forged it. Was it Ananias who stood guard on the Damascus wall? Maybe he said, be careful. You have the apostle to the Gentiles in your hands, half the New Testament. We need Smiths in Israel. We need New Testament. We need people just like Ananias to win one and train one.
Thank you for sharing in daily devotion with Ken Gurley. We pray this ministry has been a source of encouragement and strength to you. Please be mindful that your financial support enables us to meet with you each day. To give a donation or connect with us, visit our website at kengurley.com. There you will also find the latest books, podcasts, and resources. Blessed 90 Days to Change Your World is Pastor Gurley's latest book. You can get your copy of this life-changing book at kengurley.com. May God's favor rest on you in every way until we meet again.